Shaking it up with Sheikh Fayaz, Nightly Ramadan Reflections.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. The 19th of the holy month of Ramadan marks one of the most important days and most significant events on our calendar. It's a day in which we recollect the life of a man who knew God and who God knew him, who knew the Prophet and the Prophet knew him, a man who the Messenger alayhi salam would say, "He is my brother, he is to me like Aaron was to Moses." He was the man who slept in the bed of the Prophet on the night of migration. The man who stood in front of the Prophet as he was injured on the day of the Battle of Uhud. A man who destroyed half of the enemy on the day of Badr. A man whose military prowess is undeniable. And an individual who at the same time had a sense of incredible conviction toward God, that the Prophet alayhi salam calls him the leader of the pious, Imam al-Muttaqeen. This man, of course, is none other than Ali. Ali, the son of Abu Talib, born on the 13th of Rajab in the middle of the holy Kaaba, and died in the mosque of Kufa as he was struck while in the course of his prayers. But I do not want to reflect upon the life of Ali, for biographies and anecdotes of Ali are plentiful. And some would argue that the most written about man in human history, after Jesus and after Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, a man who is revered by Muslims and non-Muslims alike. But rather in terms of, again, how we can walk in their footsteps. How is it that we can illuminate the light of a man like Ali? And in particular, in regards toward this title that the Messenger alayhi salam gives him, he is known as Imam al-Muttaqeen, the leader of those who have taqwa. And as we've mentioned time and time again, that the most important objective during the holy month of Ramadan is to attain taqwa. لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The objective of fasting is so that we become God conscious, so that we become pious, so that we become wary of the presence of God. And in a saying attributed to Ali alayhi salam, he says that I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَبْلَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ, in regards to his a'mal, before every action and during every action and after every action. And it's important to understand then just how incredible and how much insight a man like Ali has in terms of his relationship with his Creator. And when we come toward addressing him as the leader of those who have taqwa, and our objective is to find taqwa during this holy month of Ramadan, then why not utilize him as our role model in this regard? So again, let's reflect upon what this term means for just a moment. In reality, it's amongst the most difficult words in the Arabic language to translate. And again, though it's generally understood as piety, the term actually doesn't translate the entire message, and a better understanding of it is a sense of God wariness. The word taqwa, or its derivatives in the whole Quran, is mentioned 251 times. And the root word of taqwa, which is wiqa, literally means protection. Because seemingly the one who has taqwa is someone who protects himself or shields himself from vice, from sin, and eventually from punishment of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Quran is hudan lil muttaqeen, a guide for those who have taqwa. And three times within the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, عَاقِبَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that the end, that paradise, that all beauty and perfection is with those who have taqwa. And scholars of Islamic ethics would argue that the highest level that one can attain in terms of Islamic spirituality, again, is taqwa. This ability to know, to feel the presence of our Creator, and thus be diligent and very careful with every single one of our actions. And taqwa is on two levels. The first level is when someone avoids sins and avoids the path to reach sins by abstaining from places, thoughts, people, so on and so forth, that might drive us toward vice. We're not going to enter into a state, we're not going to enter into a gathering with people who we know is going to take us away from God because we have a sense of taqwa. We want to be with people who actually bring us closer toward God. So on a very basic level, because we're so careful and vigilant over our own souls, we want to remain focused and understanding the most important objective and the most important purpose of our creation is again to attain the sense of wariness and recognition of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to know where to speak and where to attend and who to engage with. And that's just the first and most basic level of taqwa. And the second level of taqwa is when a man has worked so hard to establish a spiritual state of God consciousness to the extent that even if he or she does mistakenly end up in a bad situation with those people in a particular gathering, in a space where it's filled with transgression, not only is he or she not going to engage in that sin, not only going to engage in that vice, but rather they're going to serve as an immunity for those around them, whereby their light becomes manifested into the hearts. And when we come toward reflecting again in regards to the personality, the man who is known as the leader of the pious Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace and blessings be upon him and his wife and his children, Fatima and Hassan and Hussein, and of course the man who he calls himself brother, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It's important to understand that just being in his proximity, being in his spiritual proximity, we can take that light and also attain those qualities of the Muttaqi. And over the next several episodes of our podcast and of our discussion, we're going to speak in regards to the qualities of the one who has taqwa in the words of Ali alayhi salam. But we'll get to that another night, because tonight again is an opportunity for us to just reflect a little bit in regards to what this word means in light of the life of Ali. A man who is so careful with his duty and was so diligent in his actions and in his behavior with those around him, who recognized that he is going to be questioned for every single one of his interactions with anyone. And if we lived a life like that, thinking about God before every action and during every action and after every action, we would never dare raise our voice to our family members or toward our coworkers. We would never raise our hand to, God forbid, strike our spouses or our children. We would be so careful with the things that we hear, and be so careful with that which our eyes see, and we'd be so careful with that which our tongue speaks, because understanding that we have a duty and a responsibility toward our Creator. And it is said that one day in the life of Ali, in the latter years of his life, he was the caliph of the Muslim community, which was close toward 30 to 40 countries as we know it today, was under his authority, under the rule of the Islamic Empire. And he rules for 4 years and 9 months. And it is said that one day he was walking in the streets in the darkness of the night, as he always would. And he would do so to look for any orphans or any widows that were seeking some help at home, seeking some wealth, seeking food, so on and so forth. And on that day, he was walking in the street, and he saw that there was an elderly woman. And this elderly woman was picking up two really large bags of grain and wheat and barley, to which he approached her and said, "Oh, my dear lady, let me help you." So she says, "Sure, I'm struggling a lot because my husband was killed in battle under the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and I have these two sons who are orphans." And Ali alayhi salam, he doesn't respond and say, "I am Ali and I'm sorry." He just says, I'm really sorry to hear that. Let me help you. He picks up those two bags and he helps with the children and he takes them into the home. And he says, oh, my lady, how can I continue to help you? Because it seems like you're struggling. So she says, oh, man, oh, very generous man, why don't you take care of my children while I make some food for them? He says, I'm at your service. So he would play with the children while the lady was cooking the food. And while she was cooking the food, she kept on cursing Ali. She would say, may God curse Ali and may God punish Ali, for he is the one who took me away from my husband. He is the one who sent my husband to battle while he sat unharmed. Again, Ali did not say a word. It is said that he was sitting there and playing with the children, and the children went to him and they said, oh man, oh uncle, can we climb on your back? So he would get on his fours and he would climb on his back in order to play with these kids. And he would entertain them and he would make them smile and he would make them laugh while the lady continued to cook and was continuing to give insults on Ali. At the end of it all, to cut the story short, so to say, it is said that the lady, she thanks Ali for his help, not knowing again that he is the leader of the Muslim world, has the authority of more than 30 countries under his fingertips, and to which he says that, oh my lady, forgive me for any shortcomings. And she says, don't worry, you didn't do anything wrong. You've put forth your best effort. My only issue is with Ali. To which he says, may God forgive Ali if he has committed any act of wrongdoing. It is said that he leaves the home, and as he was leaving the home of the elderly lady, it is said that there was a passerby who came and recognized that that was the leader of the Muslim world, that's the brother of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala, that that's the father of Hassan and Hussein. To which this neighbor, she knocked the door and she went into the house of the lady and said, oh, my aunt, why is it that Ali was in your home? So she says, what do you mean? He said, that was a very generous man who helped me pick up the bags, who was taking care of my children while I was cooking. And she said, that is Ali ibn Abi Talib, Khalifat al-Muslimin. To which she became really embarrassed. She said, the entire time I was cursing him while he was here, aiding and supporting me. So it is said that she exits out of the house and she rushes toward Ali and she falls at his footsteps. And she says, oh leader, oh Ali, please forgive me. I had no idea that that was you. To which he goes to the ground and he says, oh my dear lady, rather I should be seeking forgiveness from you for not being of better service. What I'm trying to say, my dear friends, is that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a man who is so vigilant and so careful with his duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would go back home on a night like this and repent toward God for failing to be of the service of his community, even though he was the leader of that community, even though he had the authority of close to a third of the world as we know it today. He still recognized that to every single one of his subjects and citizens, he has a responsibility. A responsibility to them because it was something endowed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, the meaning of taqwa is to know just that. That every single one of our subjects, our family members, our spouses, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors, the people that we interact with, that we are going to be questioned and we are going to be tested by God in regards towards our dealings with them. And true taqwa, God consciousness, piety, awareness of the presence of our Creator is in recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed all of these relationships around me as a means for me to see God through them and see closeness and proximity to Him by them. On this night of the 19th of the month of Ramadan, which according to some reports would also be amongst the nights of Layal al-Qadr, for it is the first of the last 10 nights that are odd during the holy month of Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be exposed toward the light of the taqwa of Ali. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow for us to walk in His footsteps. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to transform our souls during these last final nights of the blessed month of Ramadan. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصل اللهم على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Follow Sheikh Fayaz on Twitter and Instagram @FayazJaffer and look out for him on Facebook.